Welcome to Grills and Heels with your hosts, Tracy Lynn and Rebecca Scott. Each week we talk about topics that span a variety of issues that we feel are important. This podcast is for adults only. You should be at least 18 years old to follow us on this journey. So kiddos, stop listening. Go grab your parents. This podcast is for them.
We talk about raw, edgy, and straight up real topics.
Yes.
And this week's episode, we're going to talk about what we were supposed to talk about a little bit last week, but we're going to talk about this Corona.
The Roni!
This COVID-19, coronavirus, and how it's affecting the whole entire world.
Everything.
But how we can start relating to this first is that the fact that we're both educators.
Ugh. And, I mean, I love being educators, but I'm a...
And since we last spoke, you know, our schools are closed. Mm. So we have to start this journey about teaching online. Let me tell you about this bullshit.
Oh my gosh. The levels of this bullshit.
Levels of stupidity when it comes to that. First of all, let me explain. It's me, Rebecca Scott. Mm-hmm. I am a elementary school special education teacher. I'm on that level, okay?
Okay.
Tracy Lynn is a high school teacher.
Jesus.
Okay.
Christ.
How many students you got? Like 150?
It's not that many. It's like 130.
Okay. Excuse me.
130.
I don't know how
Jesus. They
expect educators as ourselves to all of a sudden make up a curriculum online, make up lesson plans online, and you have all the materials we need. Okay, they want us to do all these things when it comes to online when we really have not been trained to do shit online.
And honestly, what's crazy about it is I feel like my district was very forthcoming. Like, they did have things in place for, you know, a snow day here or there, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we do have a platform that works very well. Here is the problem, okay? For all of those people, and why teachers complain, why they gotta do that? They job so easy. They got the best schedule. You been with your kid a week and you about to kill everybody. Multiply badass Johnny by 100 more of his badass. And that's what the rest of us gotta deal with on a daily basis.
And what's so good about y'all? Y'all can whoop them motherfuckers.
Punch them in their face in my case. Some of them need it. So hopefully they're at home getting their ass whooped. I'm just playing. I'm just kidding. Because there's abused kids out there, so I guess that's insensitive. But I do feel like this is a great opportunity for teachers' value to finally be there. Mm-hmm. I think parents and other people in other professions, they don't recognize what we do as being important. But there's a lot.
Well, I think they recognize us as being important.
They don't value us.
But they don't, yeah. All right, they don't, like, we get paid the most. We got through so much stuff. And, ooh, y'all got the whole summer off. Guess what? We crammed a whole bunch and stressed a whole bunch. And even now, as online teacher, I'm not sure about you, but we don't have regular hours no more.
Oh, let me tell you about this fuck shit that I'm about to tell you. Okay.
What the hell?
I'm talking about, I wake up every morning at 7:30. Now, I used to wake up at 4:45. Wake up at 7:30, log on to my chat. Because we have a chat in our system. All the social studies teachers get on the chat. Mm-hmm. Okay? Then I have a separate chat for both of the contents I teach. Then we back and forth all day. Then I gotta log in and make sure everything is good. I'm tracking what the kids are doing all day. I'm answering emails and texts and reminds and chats and this and that. Then I'm up, okay, and I gotta go back and forth. I'm telling you, I'm having two live sessions a day at 10 a.m. and 12. You think the kids show up? No, fuck me. They don't care, okay? Then I take, like, a break at some point around 4, and then I relax for 3 hours, and then I get my ass back on the internet from 7:30 to 11, prepping for the next day. I wanna go back to my fucking classroom. I want to take the chance, goddammit. I'm over it. I need to go back now. Like, I get that it's a pandemic. I get that it's all this. But goddammit, I'm tired. Like, they want a lot of us. Like, I didn't really particularly sign up for this. And I just think it's a lot to ask people. And, like, my school is, like, really on top of shit. And so they be like, I mean, we need to make sure this is up. I have to set up a fucking participation inventory every day by 11:30. So let me get this straight. I gotta monitor all of these motherfuckers and make sure they doing work. I got kids on the roster. I know I ain't gonna do shit. I can tell your friend. They ain't even left at this motherfucking work. They're like, fuck you, you work. It's a pandemic, bitch.
Which is even more crazier because you have a lot more people, even their parents are. Some of the parents can be panicking about pandemic, about being a pandemic. Yeah. They like, fuck this education. We can do whatever the hell's at home. Why are we working our ass off? But then you got parents who are like, oh my God, I didn't sign them for this either. I can't teach my child. Welcome to our universe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to come up with so much shit on the fly. Like, on Friday, you had Friday off for your district. I did not. Last Friday.
Oh, and yeah. And
we literally were told 7:30 that morning that, you know, we're not gonna come back to school and make sure you get whatever you need to teach from home. And we had to also set up to make sure our students had stuff available to them and make packets for every single student so they can take home for at least 4 weeks.
Now here's the thing.
All by teaching.
Here's the thing. I would have appreciated the opportunity to be able to make packets just simply because there are kids, because I work in a school that is a lower socioeconomic. They do really well. My last school was low socioeconomics as well. But with this particular school, we do a way better with everything. The kids are way more dedicated and focused and all of that. But at the end of the day, it's like you're basically saying like, oh, okay, teenager who already hates school and is ready to leave. Here, do this work that you weren't doing in class. Do it in your pajamas when I know you be getting high. Because, see, that's another thing y'all not worried about that I have to worry about. My kids be smoking a lot of weed, okay? And they barely be focused at school, you know what I'm saying? But now they mama may or may not be at home, and she may or may not be stressing them out. So he or her may or may not be needing to smoke a little bit more weed to get their mood together. And I'm like, what the hell? It's a lot. And I think about a lot of things. I think about so many things.
Like, for on my level, I'm in elementary school and I'm special ed. So my students are in their behavior. So my students I know are not getting on the computer and doing jack shit. Like, then I think to myself, because we had a department meeting on Friday, and our supervisor was just checking in with us and was like, how are you guys doing? How are you holding up? Have you been in touch with your parents? My parents don't like coming to meetings. They don't like to respond to my email. They don't like none of that shit. So, no, I have not talked to their parents because they don't give a shit. The only parent in my class that I talked to was the one that's a teacher, too, in the same district. Just so she's the only one to understand. But on top of that, like me, could be some other educators, I got to do all this. And I also have kids at home. So I got to monitor my kids at home and make sure they're doing their work as well. Which is crazy and baffling. Like, I think it's funny now because parents are complaining, like, how am I going to homeschool my kids? One's in kindergarten, one's in second grade, one's in third. Welcome to my classroom. Welcome to my classroom at this point, because my classroom is a multi-level classroom. Kindergarten, first and second. So now you got to figure out how to teach all these children on different levels, different things. And I'm one person. And you they mama, or they daddy, or whatever the case may be. Grandma. So, yeah, oh, grandma, whoever. And then on top of that, they're not really, parents, we get it. Y'all don't really know, y'all may not know the curriculum that we're teaching these kids.
And strategies.
Because you don't know about, you know, breaking it down and decoding. What's it called now?
Chunking and
all the other stuff. You know about that. You're just still thinking about carrying the one.
Oh my God, they don't even do math like that no more. That's not even a real math no more.
You don't care, that's not a strategy.
They do ladders and shit. I don't know, but anyway, I'm gonna tell you, the craziest thing on earth to me is this. The first couple of days, it was real aggressive from my school.
Mine too.
You need to do this by 3:30. You need to do this by this. Girl, by Thursday, they was like, well, thank y'all for logging in. They was like, thank you for logging in. You don't need to do this anymore. You don't need to do this anymore. So now the only thing we got to do is do the student participation inventory. But that is very stressful for me because, like, I have a coworker and she teaches all AP classes. So she gets 92% participation. Bitch, I'm hanging around 50. 50%. 50% of my kids are doing what they're supposed to
do. But then again, like in my district says, you can't bombard the parents. You can't call the parents or call them. You can't tell them that they have to log on. Why? Because this is uncharted
territory.
Uncharted territory.
I said it for you. Uncharted territory. You just see the amount of laughing she's doing.
Because the wine is heavy, so is the cookie.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And that shot of Patron.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway.
This is going to be interesting.
So we don't know. And even the school district, y'all, parents need to understand that the educators get told something different every single day.
We're getting something different.
Because they don't know. They don't know how to do this.
Let me tell you, and even my district is a district that is at the forefront of this, where we already had a platform in place. We already had certain things that our kids could access. We thought, oh, we're going to be at the top of this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Okay, all the fucking kids got on at the same time. The goddamn platform almost crashed. Huh, bitch? What now? What you got now? Then they're like, well, you can't give them zero. You can't give them this. You can't give them. What the fuck do you want me to do? I will pass everybody. Let's just throw the whole goddamn year away.
Yeah, just throw it away.
I just feel like at this point, they're not doing state testing, which I think is right. Let's just throw the year away. Let's try again next year. Let's work on cleaning the pandemic. Hold on, wait, but I do want my check. So, no, let's keep going. I need my check.
We gotta keep going.
And you know what? I think it's going to get easier, but, like, I had a coworker really say this, like, she was like, this is the most exhausted I've ever been teaching in my life. Guys, and you gotta understand, I don't have to get up and get dressed. I get up in my pajamas every day, and then they're stressed out.
Girl, I had a video classroom meeting with my kids, only one of them showed up. And I just had a shirt on. Like this shirt, I didn't have no pants on.
You had on like a fancy shirt?
No, it's like a green t-shirt.
Oh, child, because yeah, you gonna catch this t-shirt. Or when I get on with my kids, because it's not their parents, it's them. Mm-hmm. Because they're, you know, adults basically. I just have, you know, my camera off, and I just talk to them. And like a couple of my kids have jumped on, and they just were thanking me. Like, thank you for everything you do. Like, I don't think I ever appreciated you as much as I appreciate you now. And just really good feedback. We had to put out this, girl, we got more Google links than the law should allow. But we had to put out this Google link to our kids to have them take, you know, like, how are you dealing with this? And so I had 17 kids do it, and all of them were positive. A lot of them gave me positive feedback. The lady who have 92% participation, her kids ripped her a new one. She said she was in tears for 30 minutes because I think she lacks a little melanin, so she looks sensitive, honey. I'd have been like, screw them kids, whatever. But she is really hurt because, and I can see where she was, because you're in here and you're working your life away right now. Right now, what we're doing is have no fear, parents. We are working harder than we've ever worked. Yes. If we're not earning our paychecks now, we will never earn them, okay? Because the amount that goes into the time frame, and I don't know how your district has done it, but for us, since we teach classes, like I teach 5 classes out of 7 a day. Okay, the other one I have planning, and the last one I have duty. And then I go to duty or whatever.
What do you do at duty?
I stand and make sure they don't leave the cafeteria.
Oh, I thought you meant online.
At school. So, you know, my classes are 53 minutes. So, you know, it is what it is. So, I'm used to teaching a certain amount of time a day. And literally, I'll get up in front of my kids and I'm doing this and I'm wake up, da da da, stop talking. You know, it's a lot of classroom management. Now, it's like, it's all the other stuff because this doesn't really come across me as a teacher, my personality, none of that comes across in an email.
Right.
None of that comes across with the same support. Although my kids have been, like, I'm really available for them if they need, you know, help on work. But really a lot of my kids are just jumping on and say, hey, what do you think about this? Do you think we're in trouble? They just want to talk to somebody that they trust to be that person for them. I don't want this to be the new norm. This is terrible. Like,
yeah.
I don't ever want to teach online again. No. This is...
And I want to. It might be different for colleges or something like that.
No. It may be different for college, but it's from what I know, period, you having to manage people's workload is very hard.
Well, your high school levels than from elementary school. Ooh, because, girl. Okay, so we have a platform, but we were just introduced to this platform.
Oh, I've used that platform before.
But our district just did it. So no teachers, well, not me anyway. Before I got hired on, they went to one training at the beginning of the school year.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And that's it. It was like for 4 hours and that's it. And no one really used it because it really wasn't a requirement to use it. Uh-huh. You had to learn it. Everybody's panicking because no one knows how to use this platform. And it's like, okay, but besides the people who've used it in other districts.
Yeah.
But I look at my platform every day. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to sit there and teach. I put in this shit right now. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But then on top of that, my students are special ed students. So my students need a lot of face-to-face. My students are not going to log in. They are not going to do that because they literally need those accommodations to stay on task. Yeah. My students got to stay on task. And I think it's what uncharted territories too is because now we have federal guidelines that we have to implement. But how? How are we monitoring these students for special ed? Because we it's have to monitor like fuck.
But let me tell you what's crazy about that. These parents with their advocating asses sometimes. I wonder how they doing. Now, are you making sure that you're adhering, ma'am, to the IEP?
Right.
No, you're not. You probably like, Jimmy, sit your ass down. No, ma'am, don't speak harshly to Jimmy.
Right.
It's in his IEP.
He must have a positive tone.
He must have a positive tone. I bet your little Jimmy get knowledge. Shut the fuck up. Because that's what he was getting when he wasn't in school, right? And I think about my kids who don't have good, happy home lives. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. Initially, I was like, man, I'm about to teach him my pajamas. This is about to be so easy.
She was so excited. She was so excited.
That excitement was very short-lived.
I think that's gonna be easy.
Yeah, I was like, Tuesday, I would like to go back. Right. By Friday, I was like, when is spring break? No, literally, when is spring break? Because I can't. I literally cannot take it anymore.
So that one student who showed up in my class on my virtual meeting on Friday, her mom is a middle school drama teacher. And she was telling me about, I was like, how do you do that online?
Because I don't give a shit. Because
first of all,
do a monologue and upload it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But she was like, at their school, they have different days you teach different things. Like Monday and Tuesday, you teach ELA, and Wednesday and Thursday or something, you teach like history and whatever case may be. Like every day, you teach something different. So she's like, yeah, maybe I can do that. Oh, that's cute. You know, maybe Monday I dedicate to reading. Tuesday I dedicate to writing. The people are not going to do shit.
Because the problem is this. Elementary school teachers teach every fucking thing.
Yeah.
See, me, I'm very specific. I have two separate contents that I teach, right? And I teach them at different levels. Here's the problem for said contents. I have to trust that my kids are going to do their part. Again, 50% are like big middle fingers. I'm not doing this damn work. I don't care how much you want to do. And I can go in my grade book, and it's the same thing. The only thing they've ever been made to do is take their quizzes or their tests.
Right.
And the thing about those are, that's how we pretty much grade it. But now that's different.
That's my thing. How can you really hold these students who have not done online education before accountable for taking quizzes when they have to teach themselves? Like, we're putting the college expectation, college online learning, onto people who are not ready for that.
Well, here's the thing. Again, there's a difference between your level of kid and my level of kid.
True.
Most of my kids are in college preparatory classes. So the expectation was in 2 months you are going to college or some type of higher learning anyway, even if it was a trade school. So they don't have an excuse. Your kids, absolutely, they're six.
But that's not all your kids are like that. That's what I'm trying to say.
No. And I have collab classes. So I have kids who are special education. Some of them can't read. Some of them can't. And some of them babies ain't did a lick of work. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because I don't think they lights on, ain't nothing home. And I feel bad for them because when at least I'm there, I can make sure you're okay.
Right. You can
differentiate. Yes, I can differentiate constantly. But that's impossible online. Yes. I got to give you a middle of the road activity. Because otherwise, how much more late am I going to sit
But up? Then, the middle of the road activity, how do you know they really understand that?
They don't.
Exactly. So how can they be accountable for a quiz when they don't really understand that? That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying in general, not this.
No, I agree.
I hate hate the fact that these kids are held accountable for content that we can't physically teach them.
And I know I've had the scaffold. And I'm sorry, these are very teachy words. I've had the scaffold, which means I have to level it up for them. Start basic and go to the next level and level up. And again, where my friend Rebecca Sky teaches, you know, kindergarten, first and second, and you might be teaching kids how to read. I teach kids with a third grade learning level too.
Right.
How are you 18 with a third grade learning level?
But this is what I said.
It's crazy.
I said this to somebody. I think I was talking 95 South. And I said this. I was like, it's crazy how I don't think people really understand the educational levels and what we do. And I could be wrong.
At all.
I could be wrong. And we're on two different spectrum. I'm in elementary. I think elementary level teachers teach the kids strategies. They teach them how to think different ways. They teach them all the strategies in elementary school, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
The basic stuff in strategy. In middle school, they start applying those strategies and to what they learn in elementary school. And they get added more content to apply those strategies. Mm-hmm. In high school, now you have to implement every single thing you learned in elementary and middle school, and now it should make sense to you. So it's like a elementary strategies, implementation, and then here you
mastery.
Go. Mastery.
Here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with
that. You agree with that though?
I do.
Okay.
But here's the problem with that. Whatever happens, I've never played Jenga, but I've seen people do it, right? What happens when those bottom little bricks come out? Mm-hmm. The whole thing falls over. I am willing to bet my entire teaching career on this one thing. Every kid that I've had in high school that has had an issue with reading, with writing, with content, with critical thinking, never got what they needed early.
Yes.
And the problem with that is this. You want me to make motherfucking miracles when ain't nobody else been able to make miracles. That seems unfair. Okay? That seems a bit much.
Her face right now.
That seems a bit much for me. But when I was teaching in a predominantly black school, it's something that I broke myself trying to do. I used to stay at my old school. I used to stay at my old school to 7 o'clock a lot. Mm. They own me. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, they own me. I did a lot.
12-hour days.
Oh my gosh, that was super regular in the building. Mm-hmm. That was super regular for me.
I don't think people understand that too. Most of the time, when you're dealing with a school that has lower property,
a lot of needs,
those teachers in that school stay extra hours, so they are working their ass off because when they get home, they pass out.
Yeah.
So they have to put all their energy while they're in school, and they work 12 hours. And people don't understand that. And it's not like, oh, 12 hours. We get like 3 days off, four days off, or whatever that 12-hour schedule goes. We do this Monday through Friday, and then we have to also plan for the very next week. We have to restart every single week, because then after that week is gone, we have to assess what worked, what didn't work. So now we got to teach this. Yeah. We got to teach something else and implement whatever.
And you
got to
keep going,
right?
And you got to keep going. So the problem for me is I would love to take this situation, right? I teach political systems, which is political science and economics. I would love nothing more than the rest of my school year to be all about how this corona situation is affecting kids. No, excuse me. How is it affecting our political system and how is it affecting the economy? We don't have to take a test. But you know what? No. They still want the standards. They still want the...
That's your school. My school did.
Oh, yeah.
My school. Now, let me knock on some wood, because we were told just last week...
Pause
this for a second. Let's not push the standards so much on these kids until after a certain date. Then after a certain date, let's push the standard. Let's reconvene to see how we're going to do it. Because again... People don't understand that educators, we work with a pace. We have to pace ourselves according to a guideline that we didn't come up with, by the way, that we were told is going to work, even though it really doesn't fucking work.
Because it's too much.
Mm-hmm. So we got to cram all this information into these kids do a certain period of time. And that's what I come in is that some of my kids don't meet that standard. They don't meet that pace. That's why they fall into special education, because they lack some, they need some accommodations to get that pace. But most of the time, what people don't understand in society as a whole is that a lot of kids can't fit into that mold. Even when we were growing up, everybody doesn't learn the same.
No.
And because the standards are standard and they nationwide, it's like, you have to teach this. But everybody doesn't learn like you learn.
And I'm going to tell you.
It's not like they're special. They just learn differently.
But I'm going to tell you what's crazy, what's even stepping level for me. Because where the district I'm in, not only have they not given up on the standards, pushing standards, but they said nothing about suspending our district assessments, because we have a lot of district assessments. The AP, understand this, this was big. The AP board, which is the advanced placement, the kids get the credit for college classes, mm-hmm. they have come up with alternate things that they're gonna do. That's big, because they never change. Okay, mm-hmm. This is big. That's why I say, this is not small. We're not going back to school no time soon, not right, a thing, no, right?
Nope.
So, and I say that with all authority because of all the changes that have been made. But my district is still going, oh no, y'all still need to prepare them for these district assessments. You know what? Let me shut up.
Was that because, you know, on Friday, the Georgia Department of Education did come out with something. They suspended most assessments.
No, they suspended all EOCs.
Right.
Yep.
But your district still has other tests. That's stupid.
They overtested at my district.
But I'm saying that's stupid, and I think they're going to have a bunch of lawsuits coming. I hate to say that right about now. I don't hate to put it out there.
Well, I feel at this point, let's just be honest.
Right.
Every kid going to pass, okay? Every kid passing. Nobody getting held back. Cute. That's funny. That's cute. Everybody passing at this point. Stop. Just stop. I've accepted it. They gone. They leaving.
But see, you know what?
And they not going to.
Because I think even if we do level this coronavirus out, right? Mm. And we do happen to open up schools and we come back supposedly like
May.
Middle of April.
Oh, middle of April.
Because if we come back in May, that's no point. School is out the 22nd.
I almost spit the wine out on the thing when she said.
Say we come back in April. What are we really doing at that point?
Playing video.
Because we can't back up and say, oh, you missed this whole month. Let's go back to where we stopped and make sure you really understand the information. And we can't teach new content at that point.
Because they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
Oh, you're supposed to learn this when you were in online learning, digital learning. No.
Because I'm going to tell you, let me tell you.
My mama not smart. My mama couldn't help me.
Listen, right. Let me tell you the level of shit I've heard from my kids. I got 6 brothers and sisters. We all online learning. We got 1 computer.
Yes, yes.
That's a level of poverty you're not ready for.
And I don't think people understand that.
You're not ready for that.
My district is doing great. My district is actually making sure all the kids have Chromebooks.
I'm going to fight. Let me tell you why I have an issue with this. I talk a lot of shit about my last district. I won't say who they are. But they went 1-1 2 years ago. Okay? It was amazing. It's a very big district. Now, I work for a much larger district, and they have Chromebooks and all of that stuff. But they never put in a place on how to distribute them to the kids.
What?
So no kids get devices from the school.
Okay, so how is it that even in your whatever family you just hit, got 6 brothers and 1 computer? That is unfair, because if they are splitting that knowledge, they're splitting that computer time between 6 siblings.
Hold on,
that's fucked up.
And I'm gonna tell you how crazy this is. So they've instructed us that as teachers, every lesson we give needs to take the kids 30 minutes or less. Okay, 30
How
minutes or less.
How can you measure that? Okay, I'm sorry. I'll let you speak. I'm sorry.
I'm just telling you what was given the directive, okay? Let me decipher, okay? So 30 minutes or less. They take 6 classes. 30 minutes times 6 is 3 hours. So 3 hours times 6 kids is 18 hours. They not awake for 18 hours.
Right.
I had a little boy that said, I've been working all week. Is there any way I can make up all this work? I say, baby, live your best life. Go for what you know. I'm not giving no kids no fucking 0. I don't care if they do this shit in 2 weeks. You gonna get full credit.
100, 100, 100, 100.
What the fuck?
Like, I want here's crazy. So understand. Okay, because what can we, as educators, I just want every parent to understand. There's jokes going around on Facebook. Yeah. And there's y'all parents are feeling it. You know, you got to teach Susie, Mike, and all, everybody else. You got to teach whoever's in your house. And y'all got to share that one computer or whatever the case may be. And y'all understand the struggles. You know, teachers, I hope we really get appreciated a little bit more now.
Oh, yeah. I think at least for a week. I think our kids are going to appreciate us more.
You know, and we should set up Amazon, like, wish list for teacher appreciation so parents can just send us shit. So now what do you do? But you know what? From the parents I got, from the one parent who logged into my virtual student meeting, they were very appreciative about me even contacting them and me being online with them. They were like, we just appreciate you being there, you know. And even their child was a little handful, and they were like, you know, we're just grateful that you deal with her on a constant basis. We're just grateful that you deal with them. And I was like, okay, but you know, I'm just checking in how she's learning. Oh, she's learning everything, but I really want her to just sit down sometimes. Okay, really? That's what I deal with every day, but okay. And they also understand, when you have kids, you guys don't understand how many hours teachers spend with your child. Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. We get a break and give them back to you on Saturday and Sunday. You get 2 days. It's like co-parenting. We are co-parenting with our students' parents.
Yes.
We have them during the week from 7 to 3, whatever time it is. We have them during the week, and y'all have them at night and on the weekends. So now y'all have them all the time, and y'all understand what we go through. And we have to learn, we have to give this content to your students or to your children for them to learn over and over and over again, and you have to figure out how to teach them. Because yes, we went to school, yes, we have our degrees,
yes we've been
trained, but guess what? Every year we learn something new. Every year we get a new resource that we have to be trained on that we don't really know what's going on. But every year we get it. And every year we get more standards put on us and more things we have to do to make sure we are implementing whatever resource they gave us that we might not be fully trained in. You know, we do. We have the PLCs, the professional learning stuff, you know, where we come together as a group and we meet and we talk strategy, blah, 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 and we share. But now we don't even have that. I mean, we might go online with our coworkers as too, you know, to talk about whatever we talk about. But again, our coworkers have children and have families, and they have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So not only are we, our teachers who are parents, doing triple duty sometimes, it's like we can't keep up with everything. It's impossible.
I'm going to tell you, this literally is our... Okay, this right here to me is going to show me, yes, we have job security.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is going to be a difference maker in people getting the hell out of teaching. Because of this, I guarantee you a lot of things are going to change next school year.
Mm.
A lot of things are going to change. They're going to have a lot more stuff set up. One thing I am going to say is, I think at the high school level, to me, they should set it up to maybe we're at school 4 days, at home one, because that saves, you know, all type of stuff. That saves you not being at the school one day a week. And it might be, you know, something helpful for people to, you know, learn these things. Because the one thing me and my homegirl were talking about today was, just because kids are good at putting on social media and TikToking and swiping left and swiping right, they're fucking illiterate when it comes to online citizenship. Mm-hmm. They're illiterate in the 21st century classroom. And it takes a lot as a teacher to do a lot online. One thing I think I want to take part of this summer to do is put more of my things online. Have more accessibility as far as that. Because I'm not saying another pandemic will ever happen in our lifetime. I hope not. But this motherfucker is like taking the wind away.
Right.
I'm tired.
So as educators, you guys... We really want you to know that, you know, it's funny, it's all fun and games, but we do work hard, and we are learning
to work
as we go. We are learning as we go.
I'm telling you,
we have literally nothing put in place to go by when it comes to teaching these kids online. We are literally doing this every day, and we are just putting everything out there and going head first. I mean, and we have to come together as parents and teachers and understand that now you guys see, we need those pencils, pens, and we need y'all to answer the freaking phone.
Yeah.
We need y'all to answer the freaking emails. God damn it, come to parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah.
Learn about your goddamn child. Yep. And then when a teacher expresses a concern about your motherfucking child,
don't go on defense.
Don't go on defense. Don't sit there and say, not my child. They don't do this at home. Guess motherfucking
what? You see what they doing now.
We ain't lying.
Because we had them more than you do. Now you got them. In the morning, they don't want to get up. They want to sleep. That's how they be in first period.
Yes.
When they're after lunch, they lazy.
Right. They don't do no
work.
They
want to put their head down. I have a little boy sleep every day. Every day, I be like, I knock on his desk because you can't touch him. Because I don't want to. Ooh, I'm sorry. Because I don't want to touch him. So I tap on his desk and I be like, you going to wake up today? You going to wake up today? Okay, ma'am.
But we have to come together our education system as a whole. And I hope you guys really start doing this. Y'all better start going to legislation and y'all better start advocating for your kids. Y'all better start understanding that teachers work. We work our ass off.
Yeah.
And we have limited resources. And we have this Dumbledore fuck in the office right about now. You know, the orange agent or whatever the fuck they want to call his stupid ass.
I'm not talking about the president.
I'm just kidding. Talk about him. Whatever the fuck. He is cutting programs left and right. And he got this dumb fuck in charge of education of the United States. And she don't know shit herself.
Never.
Now, this is what I'm trying to say.
That's crazy.
I hope this shows parents that teachers really need help. It takes a fucking village to educate these kids. We are going against societal norms at this fucking time.
Yeah.
We got children who are in poverty who can't learn. Everything's getting online basis. And a lot of kids don't have those computers. They don't have that internet access. They don't have that shit. And they may be coming from, you know, like I said, maybe six of them in the household.
And you don't even know that. You don't know this shit until stuff like this happens.
Right.
You be like, you got six brothers and sisters. No wonder you be hungry all the time.
Yes.
You might be scrounging for food or something.
And what we have to learn at the education system, too, is that when school's out, it's out. And the summertime, when they have those meals, y'all don't understand how many children only eat at school.
That's a big thing. Yeah.
So when the teacher says, please pack a snack or something, if you can, pack a snack. Like, yo, we don't say that because we eating them. Believe me, this pandemic, don't have the child touch me. But I'm just saying, they can eat their own stuff. But I'm saying, like, we have to come together and understand it takes so much more to educate these kids. And y'all won't, okay, you know what? It's just so funny people been talking about. So now teach your child about taxes, too. Please do so. Teach them how to cook, too.
Yeah.
Please do so right about now as you're teaching them this also this other content and teaching your other kids the same thing. So now's the perfect time to teach them about taxes and teach them about the stock market and all that. Have fun with that.
Because they don't know. And that's the thing that a lot of my kids, like, I'm the teacher because I ran a program at my old school to where I've sat down with my kids to say, guys, what issues are you having with, you know, applying to schools and this and that? And they go, my parents have never gone to college. They have no idea how to do this, this, or that. And I'm like, oh, no problem. Let's sit down. I'm willing to do that for your kid. So ask for help, man. Like, man, y'all jump on my live. Like, I'm always like, I have it in place for help to help kids. But, you know, the things that I teach are real life. I teach politics and I teach money. Like, those are two things right now that if you're not paying attention, you may have a problem. So you might want to. You might want to pay attention to it because the last assignment that I did with my econ kids before we went on this, you know, pandemic break is what I'm calling it, is we talked about, we listened to the president's initial thing that he said about, you know, he's going to act accordingly with schools and blah, 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 blah. And when he did the travel ban, that's the one we watched. And, like, I had to tell him, I was like, listen, we're not even judging him from the political stance. I was like, if you don't care about him, if he can't look at his face, I don't care. I said, we need to know economically what this means. And we started talking about it, and the kids were like, dang, like, I didn't even think about this. And I said, and that's the problem. You have to start thinking. This is going to affect y'all's future.
Right.
I'm secure in a job.
No, but what I'm saying is that people always say teachers are nothing but babysitters.
Oh, honey. Babysitters. And now that you got to babysit your own kids, you realize.
We do more than that.
We do more than that. Or maybe if we just did that, you appreciate that. Because they getting on y'all nerves.
Right. But see, I just hope this changes. I think it's gonna change. And I don't know if we're going to go back to school or not. Because some states even close school out for the whole entire year.
Kansas.
You know, I feel bad for some seniors. But it's like, you know, they just throw their whole senior
year away. Well, here's the thing. And people are like, man, you know, seniors is saying, listen, I love my kiddos. I think they're great humans. You know, I want them to do it. But they literally are more worried about that than a whole pandemic that's killing people.
Right.
People are dying, and you worrying about walking across the state?
Let's talk about that now. We're talking about our education.
I'm sorry. We got in our bag, our education bag.
Because you know that we know something about that.
Ooh, girl.
Let's talk about this pandemic and this whole hashtag stay at home. Stay the fuck at home is what it's called. Okay.
Ooh, Lord.
So I felt like before this whole thing happened, we were more exposed because we had to deal with kids and snottiness and nastiness and all the other stuff. So I feel like by now, if I haven't developed any symptoms or whatever, I'm thinking I'm cool.
I feel like I'm good too.
But I also don't want to go to restaurants or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, my birthday was this week and I really couldn't celebrate nothing because I couldn't go nowhere and do nothing. Couldn't do anything. 95 South did come and take me out. Went to a picnic in the park. It was very cute. Whatever the case may be. So, because we couldn't go nowhere. We couldn't sit down and eat. But couldn't go to the movies, couldn't do shit. But I'm saying, like, I don't think at first I took this serious, but when it starts spreading like wildfire, it's like, wow, something really has to happen because this is spreading way too much. People are really getting sick. Now you got these college students in Miami acting like this real spring break and they ain't gotta do nothing for the rest of their damn lives, and they spread more and more and more. Like, these celebrities are coming out saying they got people online saying, oh, they just getting paid for that. Like, come on now.
That's just okay. First of all, the people, and I say my kiddos because a lot of my kids graduated, my babies graduated last year. But why are y'all at the club twerking? Talking about F Corona? No, 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 no. The problem is more people are gonna get it than have symptoms of it, right? So it'll just be dormant in your system, you're fine. But the problem is y'all think this is for older people or Asian people or some other people. But fool, if you get this thing and you transmit it to your grandmother or your aunt or somebody like that, and something happens to them, like, my problem with the generation that is currently coming into adulthood, which is scary, is they don't value nobody telling them to sit down. They don't value the fact that it's serious. They take nothing serious.
Right.
And the problem with them not taking it, they're so desensitized to everything. But this is real. I'm telling you, I've been on this planet for 40 years and I have never seen anything like this in my life. I'm a history teacher, so of course I've studied things like the flu epidemic, influenza, the pandemic of 1920, okay? If you go into the plague from like the 1720, like, that's serious business. But now what we think is we invincible.
Right.
Because we can TikTok. You don't take your TikToking ass to the house and sit your monkey ass down.
Stay the fuck at home. But it's crazy because, like, I've been at home most of the time, but I only go to certain places. I come here. I stay at home.
And it's safe here.
Uh-huh. I go to my sister's house and 95 South's house. That's about it. Like, before all this stuff happened, I went to the store and I stocked up very well. And today I went to the gas station because I needed some gas. And I was like, why are there so many people-peopling right now? Because why are they peopling? Like, y'all should not be peopling right now. Why? I mean, traffic has never been so much better in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it even tricked Waze. Like, Waze told me before it's gonna take me 1 hour and 15 minutes to get somewhere. And it took off 30 minutes by the time I got through downtown. It was like, oh, 30 minutes early. Because it wasn't used to the traffic not being there. Like, it's just crazy. I don't think people understand it's affecting so much. Now, with that being said, not only is this pandemic, affecting education, it's affecting people's, that your parenting, it's affecting young people not really taking it serious. But so many industries at this point are shutting down. So many people are losing their jobs. And people don't understand this shit. So many people are losing their fucking jobs that people didn't take rolling for granted. Like, if people take it for granted, like, listen to this. You have bartenders right now who are struggling because restaurants are closing and they can't make tips because no one can come in. You have restaurants that are closing down because no one's coming in. Girl, you have mom and pop companies that are closing down because people are not placing orders anymore. Like, this is really something that people need to take serious.
It's real life. And the thing about it is, even if they send a stimulus, even if they do this, it's going to take people months to recover and feel safe to go outside of their homes. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, yes, do I go to the grocery? I go to two places. You ready? And it's all within a 3-mile radius of my home.
Right.
I go to the grocery store, you know, when I got to, and I go to that good old post office, okay? Because I have become addicted to Amazon shopping. Don't judge me, but I don't get to go to Europe this summer, so let me shop away my pain, okay? So I go to those places and maybe the gas station, but I'm keeping my car above 3/4 of a tank. Ain't gonna be no, oh, I need gas. No, bitch, I'm good, but I ain't going nowhere.
Gas is so cheap that I can't go nowhere.
Yeah,
I think people understand that we are blessed because of our occupation, you know, it still allows us to teach and do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But so many people are struggling, and I think that not only should we start investing in education, but we need to start talking about mental illness at this point.
Because
not only are people have to deal with losing their jobs and having to provide for their families and stuff like that, which is going to take a hit on their self-esteem, their self-worth.
So much.
It's going to take a hit on all this stuff. But now, not even, well, those people included, but the people who are recluse or the people who are really scared about getting infected, now they are mentally going to all become hermits or something like that. It's going to take a lot to get those people back outside.
Yeah.
So they can understand that it's safe to be outside now, that, you know, this is going down. People are going to be scared. People are walking around in garbage bags with masks on. I mean, come on. People are hoarding tissue paper. Like, this is going to take so much mentally to get over. Not only financially, but mentally to get over. And it's, like, you have to really understand, if this ain't a sign for you to get your tribe together, get your people together, and, you know, and make sure your tribe is straight, make sure your people are straight, because you have to depend on each other at this point.
Yeah.
Because you never know what someone's going through.
Right. And it is a lot. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, this week, Coach has been over more, and we have been, you know, doing our thing together and, you know, teaching and this and this. And, you know, just appreciating him for who he is and all of that. But it's a lot. Mentally, I have spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time by myself anyway. But I have just, like, really been just, like, thinking about life.
Yes.
And thinking about the choices that I've made and all of those things. And, I mean, I tend to lean more to a unforgiving place, a space for myself sometimes. And so I'm just trying to be kinder to myself and trying to really, like, process through all of the stuff that I've been through and not holding myself in a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard sometimes because you're like, I really put myself in this position.
Yeah.
But even through this, girl, I like thought about, what if I was in a pandemic with my ex-husband? Whew, the thought really shuddered my bones. I was like, he didn't like me.
Yeah.
He wasn't nice to me.
Had me quarantined to that.
Nope.
And it makes me think about people who are quarantined with abusive partners.
That's scary.
Because if abusive partners are already feeling like, however they feel to make them be abusive, think about they lost their job, they lost their income, how more abusive they are now. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I am sure suicide rates are finna go up. I am sure mental illness cases are finna go up.
Yeah.
I'm sure that freaking domestic violence cases are finna go up. Like, divorce rates are finna go up. You know, all this shit's finna happen because of this. And I don't think people really understand
that. I still don't think people are taking it seriously. And I think I'm just looking around and I'm going, this looks different. This feels different. This is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even that... I mean, I'm older, but I'm not that old to where I'm like, I'm still a baby of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and none of this has happened in any of the lifetimes of the people that I'm with. Like, I was talking to my mom the other day. Even my mom, like, I was really fussing at my mom because she's in the high
high risk
category because she's older, and she like at Walmart and stuff. And I was like, mommy, like, what? Can you just go sit down somewhere? And she's like, it's fine, it's fine. I'm like, it's not fine. Like, I'm like yelling at her and like really being mad at her, and my brother too. And it's just like, you have got to stop. Like, mm-hmm. at some point, you can't be that chick no more.
Right.
She like the kids at the beach. Like, stop.
Like, you can't, you gotta take this serious, because you never know.
Yeah.
Somebody might touch something that you touched, and you know.
Right. And she thinks, because she's super, like, clean. OCD, that it's not gonna happen. And I'm just like, I hope it doesn't.
Right.
Because I don't know, there's not a safe place in my mind that if something can happen to my mom, like, I've already instructed Coach legitimately, and I'm not joking at all. I was like, if something happens to my mom, you just might want to just break up with me and stay as far away from me. Because it's not going to be a good situation. Like, I can't even tell you I can process something like that. But that's selfish, right? I know that's selfish. I know that's very selfish. But again, that's why I'm like, go sit down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit down.
Yeah. Like, it could be, people can view this as, you know, it's an opportunity for you to sit there and invest in something you want, especially if you, like, lost your job or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to make a career choice. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to sit there and figure out what your passion is, to go after your passion. But you're not going to see it right now, because you're stuck in the middle of it. You're stuck mm-hmm. in the middle. I had a job on freaking Monday, and now Wednesday, I don't have a job no more. Like, I was working, and now I'm not. And then on some, like, some states are locked down, meaning you can't do anything.
You can't.
Like, and there, some people are having curfews and stuff. Like, Georgia hasn't got that bad, but you know the cases done tripled since last week?
Yeah.
Like, it is crazy. Like, and people are not taking this serious. People, like, I get it. People are getting sick, you know, and their older people are being very effective, and families, you know, what are being very effective. But not only is it a medical thing, it's also a financial thing. This is wiping us out.
It is wiping, but well, as a country,
that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, as a society as a whole, this is wiping us out financially. It really is, and this is people's livelihood.
Yeah, know? Like, most states are not, like, everybody's suspending where you have to pay your taxes, suspending where you have to pay your student loans, suspending, doing temporary suspension of these things for 60 days up front, and then eventually after that, if it needs to be extended, of course, we have the, you know, travel ban and all of that stuff. Just everything about that is absolutely insane to me, because...
But even if you do have the 60 days extension... Okay, that means that...
What I'm going to do after that.
Right, after that, what I'm going to do. Because most of the time, they're still looking for jobs, because their job is not there anymore. Their company they work for is not there anymore.
They like, literally are talking about, this could put us... And I literally was just teaching this a week and a half ago, that unemployment is at the lowest it's ever been in Georgia. We hit our... We matched our lowest ever, which is 3.1%. That's where we are. Nationally, I think we're around the three range. If anywhere between 4% and 6% means that there's full employment, which means, you know, people want a job, have a job, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The craziest thing about this is... I was teaching the business cycle and how the market goes up, the market goes down, we go into recession, this and this. My kids are like, this happening now. And I'm like, that's what I'm trying to explain to y'all. Like, this is real life. But it blows my mind that we're going to go from there, and they're talking about 20% unemployment. We've never been at 20% unemployment.
Wow.
Never. And so that's scary.
I wonder how unemployment's gonna be. Like, where are those funds? Like,
pay. Well, the thing about it is, we're talking about being at unemployment, but if we don't have the money, we don't have the money.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, where is that coming from? Because if we have not been that high of unemployment rate, and the president's already cut out all. I mean, y'all understand, the president cut out so many fucking programs that now everybody really needs. And y'all understand, in the background, he snipped that shit. So now if more people need help, their program is not there anymore. Because y'all's president cut that shit. Like, y'all gotta understand,
well, here's the thing.
This is big.
Well, let me say this. The people who cut programs, that's your Congress.
Well, I'm just saying.
No. He can champion it. But that's an important part. I'm glad you said that. Let me tell you why I'm glad you said that. Because more people are paying attention to who's gonna be the next president. nobody's paying attention to the legislation. Mm-hmm. Nobody's paying attention to these people who are passing this and this and that. Nobody's doing that. What they do is they focus in on that one thing. And he can set that, and you're right. He is doing certain things. But I'm telling you as a whole, mm-hmm. that legislative branch is shaky and stupid. Like, and they do not care. These people have been in office for so mm-hmm. long, and they do decades. Not care. And they do not care. And so it's crazy to me that at the end of the day, all of those different things, and each state is different, and the federal government making decisions, this and that, and he can definitely have influence over certain departments. And like the lady is trying to get rid of Besso, I think that's her name, that's over education. She's trying to champion Congress to get rid of the public service loan forgiveness.
Yes,
because
yes,
she
yes.
says, and I read this and I laughed to myself, because she said, because you're putting certain jobs over others. No, dumbass. Let me explain to you how this works. We have the most student loans and yes. get paid the lowest least. Amount of money. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, ma'am, shut the fuck up. Let me pay my 10-year payments, work for 10 years, and get this good loan forgiveness, honey.
Let's see if we can come together as a society and start focusing on legislative and all the people that can make
please,
new rules.
Honey.
And y'all can understand that let's get some of this debt rid of from these teachers. Let's go ahead and get some of that debt up off us. You know, because we're highly educated at this point, because we have to get educated.
We have
to
degrees in other people.
We have to go to college. We have to learn these certain courses. We have to get this money. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to borrow this money just to get educated, only to pay a third of what we took out. Because we have to get so many certifications and so many classes and so much
so
education.
Much shit.
We have to, and you know, doctors, they can pay their student loans. They get paid the big bucks, you know? They work their ass off.
But you know what's crazy about that? Because they get the public service loan forgiveness as well. That's what I'm saying. Let's see who gets it. It's service people. Doctors,
mm-hmm.
Nurses,
mm-hmm.
police officers, firefighters shouldn't have to pay for nothing. I'm just saying, they run into burning buildings. I just feel like they should be forgiven.
Right.
Because, bitch, they shouldn't have to work 10 years. You running a burning bill. I'm not running to say your monkey ass. So you might want to forget that shit. But teachers, stuff like that, if you work for a nonprofit, it's crazy to me that people feel like that's what that is, valuing one thing over the other. But at the end of the day, like, now they did say this, all the people who had loans from colleges that are no longer open, those have all been wiped out.
Have they?
Well, the loan forgiveness part.
Okay.
They've been wiped out of the loan forgiveness part because they like, we ain't never going to recuperate this money. So you still got to, I think you still owe those institutions,
mm-hmm.
which is what's right because you borrowed the money to mm-hmm. go there. But yeah, no, they wiped out that this can no longer be. And so that's billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not talking about millions of dollars here, people. We're talking about billions of dollars. Every time they change one little thing, your money go into the $1 billion category,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we're numbers to these folks. And so that's why I said, if we're not paying more attention, and I have a lot of things to say about government that I don't say because I study it and I have to. And when I teach my kids as middle of the line as possible because I just want to tell them it's all a hustle anyway. So it doesn't matter what side you're on. It's all a hustle anyway. Because how are these people able to, if one side hated the other one so much, how come their portfolios don't look the same? How come y'all don't live different? How come y'all salaries is $175,000 a year? And you get and you get residual. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, congresspeople get paid $175,000 a year. Plus,
don't they get free healthcare?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they get a budget to travel. And they get a budget for entertainment. And they got this. And they get a check for the rest of their life. Huh? Excuse me? What? Bitch, are you serious? Why the fuck I don't get paid that much? I don't even get paid $175,000 a year, but come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Come on, bro.
And they make the laws or whatever case may be that
and
you have to follow.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. That's why when I teach my kids government and I start going over the legislative branch, they be like, hold up, time out. They got got a lot of power. I say exactly. Mm-hmm. And the only power that president has over them is the power to veto. And guess what? If 2/3 of them can get back together, they can overturn that.
Right.
They literally are without checks and balances. They don't really have a check. It's insane to me. That's why this whole bipartisan split really is working more to the advantage of the people, I think, because they can never, it depends on who the president, I guess, is for you. Because if the Congress could get together and figure it out, they could run this whole thing and we wouldn't have nothing to say.
What do you feel about they got rid of parties altogether?
I think at this point, to follow a party is crazy. Yeah. Let me tell you why I think I agree. To say I was very much so a conservative. This. I am a political atheist because what I have realized is in my studies of history and my studies of life and my studies of all of these things, because it's what I literally have a degree in history and I teach political science. What I think about parties is it started as a hustle. Our very first president in his farewell address, Washington said, "Let me tell you how you are going to break this nation if you ever develop political parties. If you ever go out and worry more about the world's problems than our problems." He literally made a list of what not to do. And what the fuck did we do? Everything he said not to do, the shit is gonna fall apart. And the crazy thing is, my kids are like, because we're studying party, we're on political participation right now. So they're like, hold on, like, this party seems to be like, you know, it makes more sense for me. How come their candidate can't swear? I say it's the same reason Bernie Sanders runs under a Democratic ticket, even though he's not a Democrat. People are like, oh, he's such a socialist. Bruh, he's not a Democrat. He's been an independent his entire political career. He's one of only two independents who made it in the Senate seat, who have kept their Senate seat for years. Let me explain to you. People, that's cute. That sounds good. All of that is this, but you gotta run on one of the two parties, because really if we got rid of them, I truly feel like we would hold more people's foot to the fire.
Right.
But it's too much work for people. People like to follow along and get on the internet, see what their friends say. And they said, we have a homeboy that's on both of our friend lists. And all he talks about is how great Bernie Sanders is.
Oh,
and
I'm like, this and that.
Yeah, and I'd be like, bro, that's cool and all, but it's dumb. Like, some of his policies, I will never understand. Some of his policies, I will never in my lifetime understand, because if you make a free school, it's going to be the 13th and the 14th grade. I work in public free education. I don't think college should be free. Do I think these prices are out of control? Absolutely. Should they come down? Absolutely. Let's work on that. But to say, oh, I think everybody, why? One thing is gonna discount your degree, the value of it, because everybody has access to it. Second thing is, everybody don't need to go to college. College not for everybody. But if it's free, I might just go.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just a lot of things I don't agree with. And then I look at other places where he does quote places that have, you know, free healthcare, free this, free school, free this, and it's great. They also pay 45% of their taxes.
Right.
And I'll just be like, that sound good in theory. All of that sound good in theory. But the one thing when he talk about, we're going to make the rich pay for it. Let me explain something to you. Rich people would never be rich if they was going to pay for your program.
Right.
It sound good. I don't go with things that sound good.
Right.
Yeah.
But so we have came up with a lot of stuff in this last week or so. Life has changed. This shit has happened very quickly, and life has changed. So, with that being said, so we have listened to, I mean, we have talked a lot of stuff about the coronavirus, and I want everybody to take this thing serious. Like, I don't care if you're not being affected by it and you're not scared of being affected by it and you're a mortal man or whatever the case may be, but look out for your fellow neighbors. Look out for your fellow people. It's not about you. If this thing does not fucking tell you that the world is not about you, I don't know what the fucking sign you can get. The world is not about you. Like, this is literally the epitome of you have to love your fucking neighbor and think about somebody else besides you. Like, we are such a selfish fucking society sometimes.
Ooh,
we don't care about nobody else.
But
we want to do what the fuck we want to do to get ourselves better. Instant gratification. All this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
All that shit is okay. But guess what? When it's your time to go, don't nobody care about your goddamn TikToks. Don't nobody care about how much money you fucking made. Don't nobody care about none of that shit. You need to value your friends, value your family, the people who care about you.
Value the people that care about you. Yes. I agree.
Value those people. Because at the end of the day, life is way too short. I hate that cliche saying, but it's
real.
If this doesn't show you life is too short, you can be here one day and be sick the next. You can have a job one day and not have a job the next. You can freaking go to school one day and not go to school the next. Like, things change.
Yeah.
We need to adjust as a society and understand that we need to depend on each other. If not even each other, our own communities. We need to strengthen our communities as a fucking whole. Agreed. Our own cultures. We have to do something to make this world a better place. A place. I can't even freaking talk that Juan is talking to me. But this pandemic should show you something. It should open your eyes to something. No, it shouldn't make you sad, depressed, or something like that. Not to me. It could. To some people, but it should open your eyes to say, what can I do better to better myself? Am I okay with where I'm at? How can I change where I'm at? What are the steps that I can reach this goal to change where I'm at? Because, like I was telling somebody earlier, or the analogy I use, they're a tree, right? Mm-hmm. They're so used to their apples and their leaves and their branches. The apples start rotting, you know? The branches started getting brittle. But they don't want to shake the tree off to get rid of, you know, the apples so others can grow. They don't want to, you know, shake their branches off and shake the leaves off because that's been on that tree for so long. That's what makes this tree so grand. So makes this tree so big. So now, to me, this pandemic's coming around like Mother Nature. It's shaking the fucking your tree up. It's knocking those dead apples off. Mm-hmm. It's knocking those rotten apples off. You don't need that shit around. That could be family, friends, the job. It's knocking that shit off.
Yeah.
Okay? It's knocking off the branches when it comes to you. It's making sure all this shit goes so you can, to me, can grow better things. Mm-hmm. You can grow more leaves. You can grow more branches. You can make more fruit that's going to be so much better than the rotten fruit that you had on your branches.
That's good.
Think of it as that way. It's a time to shake shit up and just change. Get rid of dead weight. Surround yourself with people who love you and that value you. So, again, you have listened to Girls in Heels podcast. I got on a real tangent right there. You have listened to Girls in Heels podcast. Yeah. And I forgot. So...
Join us next week.
We can talk about more interesting topics. Follow us, subscribe, do whatever. All major platforms where you find podcasts, you can find Grills and Heels. If you have any questions or concerns, please email Tristan Lynn at grillsandheels@gmail.com. That is grillsandheels@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening.
Remember, you don't have anything else to do. Podcast and chill. Bye.